Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. I am your host, Al Martin. After taking a bit of a break, I was on the West Coast for a few days out in Arizona and Las Vegas. Had a great time, but I must say I always miss you all. Anytime I go away for a few days, it's been 3 days since we have been live here on the air with you all. And we got a lot to recap. A lot to recap when it comes to the world of Michigan State sports, when it comes to professional sports. The Detroit Lions expected to make things official about less than, 2 hours from now, down in Allen Park, naming Matt Patricia New England Patriots Super Bowl runner-up, New England Patriots defensive coordinator. He's expected to be named head coach officially today. We will get to that chatter. And, again, I have not talked to you all since last week, Thursday. So I do have a few takeaways from the Super Bowl, and I got a few stories to tell when it comes to just Las Vegas for Super Bowl weekend. It is quite the scene. For anybody that has been down in Las Vegas for Super Bowl weekend, you understand it is like a scene that you've never seen before. People everywhere, bets being made left and right. It is quite remarkable. So I have a few stories from my time on the West Coast. We will also recap last night's Michigan State men's basketball game as MSU barely squeaked out a dub over the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road. And I got a few takeaways that I want to throw out there when it comes to watching how this year will come to a close when it comes to the regular season and as we now approach March Madness, which is literally right around the corner. So I have a few takeaways from that game. We will also have an interesting chat between our very own Kevin Lavery and Frank Fitzpatrick, who is a reporter in the Pennsylvania area who covered the whole Penn State scandal with Jerry Sandusky. And Kevin had a really intriguing conversation picking the brain of Frank Fitzpatrick about what took place at Penn State and during his time covering it and the parallels that he sees with, of course, the current state of Michigan State athletics right now in light of the Larry Nassar scandal and, of course, the ESPN report. And, again, as I mentioned about, Matt Patricia being named head coach of the Detroit Lions, we will have a few takeaways when it comes to what to expect from the Matt Patricia press conference. We'll have that conversation later on in the hour on the back end of the show. If you would like to be a part of the fun, there are multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can join us via Facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running, and you all are getting right to it, as you customarily do, commenting below that live stream. I'll do my best to answer a few of your questions that are rolling in and read a few of your comments. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Right, and we begin with the Michigan State men's basketball team as the fourth-ranked Spartans escaped Carver Hawkeye Arena, a 96-93 victory last night, holding their collective breaths as a final shot barely missed for the second straight game. Michigan State has won seven straight games, improves to 23-3 overall. And get this, that's actually, it may not feel like it, but that's actually one win away from tying the best start in program history. Can you believe that? Michigan State, 23-3 overall, 11-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Iowa falls to 12-14, 3-10 in Big Ten play. Now, after watching a 9-point lead completely evaporate in the second half, MSU finished on an 11-4 run in the final 3 minutes and 28 seconds. That included Kenny Goins' three-pointer with a little over 2 minutes remaining. Miles Bridges and fellow sophomore Josh Langford hit six free throws in the final minute and 2 seconds. Bridges had 25, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, led 4 players in double figures. Nick Ward, who battled foul trouble almost all night, 17 points in just 12 minutes. Jaren Jackson Jr., who is battling an illness. He also battled foul trouble last night as well. He added 11 points, 5 rebounds. Cassius Winston was benched for much of the second half. He had 9 points, 8 assists. MSU's defense also responded to its earlier struggles. Jackson blocked Cook with about 3 minutes left to play. Winston stuffed Bohannon's 3-point shot with about a minute left to send the Spartans to the line to seal the deal. We'll have a few takeaways away from that game last night. I got a lot of questions about this team. A lot of questions about this team as we approach mid-February. All right, Michigan men's basketball. Michigan jumped out to a 10-point lead early in the first half against Northwestern, but went into a shooting slump of its own in the second half. Michigan went on to lose 61-52 to Northwestern at Allstate Arena last night. U of M is 2-4 on the road in Big Ten. U of M shot 25% in the second half, 5 of 20, including 1 of 10 from three-point range. The Wolverines had a scoreless stretch of more than 9.5 minutes in the second half before Charles Matthews hit a three-pointer with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left, cutting U of M's deficit to 54-49. Northwestern's guard tandem combined for 43 points. Ryan McIntosh led the Wildcats 24 points on 8 of 11 shooting, and Scotty Lindsey added 19 points. Moritz Wagner led the Maize and Blue 20 points, 9 boards, and Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman added 11 points. As many of you know, many high schoolers across this great nation are signing on the dotted line and letting their choices be known where they will be taking their college talents. Now, a lot has changed in the 2.5 months since Michigan State signed 20 players for its 2018 recruiting class during the early signing day period. MSU picked up one commitment on Saturday from Las Vegas Bishop Gorman wide receiver Jalen Naylor. And assistant coaches said in December the Spartans could add up to 4 more players during the second signing period, with Coach D, Coach Mark D'Antonio, saying they would specifically focus on adding more defensive linemen. At least 3 of the 2018 targets, wide receiver Tommy Bush from Texas, defensive tackle Deshaun Mallory of Illinois, and defensive end Abuk Maldonado from Florida, have the Spartans among their finalists. MSU's 2018 class enters Wednesday, rated number 29th nationally, 6th in the Big Ten in the 247 sports composite. Now, as far as recruiting stretches go, Michigan had a rough 15-minute period this morning. The Wolverines watched as five-star offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, a player they offered before anyone else, pick Ohio State. Then less than 15 minutes later, they watched linebacker Otis Reese, who had been committed to Michigan for 18 months, sign with Georgia. Now, this morning was not some new revelation that Jim Harbaugh's football program lost ground in 2017 and has a lot of work ahead after signing heralded classes in 2016 and 17. Michigan's going to wrap up its 2018 cycle without a player ranked in the top 100 in the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. Again, we'll be following throughout this hour and throughout the afternoon if any new additions take place when it comes to MSU football and Michigan football. But those are a few updates for you all. As I've mentioned multiple times now, the Detroit Lions will introduce Matt Patricia to the public, a 3 p.m. presser at the team facility at Allen Park. So a lot of questions to answer when it comes to Matt Patricia taking the Lions job over other options out there, such as the Giants, that was reportedly the favorite before he turned that down. I think talk about the Lions, an organization. I should say when it comes to the Giants, an organization with two Super Bowl wins in the past 11 years, and it's in the state where he grew up. So he'll address a lot of questions this afternoon, and later on this hour, I'll address a few things that I hope Matt Patricia hits on during his presser. But again, it's just a press conference, and Matt right now is focused on getting to work and trying to figure out how to put the wheels back on the track when it comes to the Honolulu Blue. Also, the Detroit Lions announced five hires and two reassignments on Tuesday, headlined by the addition of Paul Pasqualoni as defensive coordinator. Pasqualoni hired Patricia as an offensive assistant at Syracuse back in 2001, his final college job before moving on to New England back in 2004. Pasqualoni spent the past 2 years coaching the defensive line at Boston College. So, a quick update there. Also, you can catch the Detroit Pistons sitting at 500, 26-26 overall, trying to avenge a 101-100 home loss to the Brooklyn Nets of all teams. Last month, Brooklyn guard Spencer Dinwiddie made an off-balance last-second shot to beat his former team. Brooklyn has dropped seven of its last eight games since that thriller, including a 123-113 home loss to Houston on Tuesday. So you look at how the Pistons have played since the acquisition of Blake Griffin, and they play pretty well. And I really like the tandem between Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Drummond was named as an all-star replacement last week. He was selected as the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week one Monday after averaging almost 20 points, 19 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 3.3 steals, and almost three blocks in three victories. But some unfortunate news here. The NBA has suspended center Willie Reed for six games without pay because of a domestic violence incident that took place last summer. Reed was arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery after an argument with his wife, Jasmine Reed, at their Miami residence on August 5th. Reed later entered into a pre-trial diversion program. So in a statement on Tuesday, the league said it conducted its own investigation and also consulted with domestic violence experts for guidance. So again, Willie Reed done for at least six games. He was a part of that trade with the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Detroit Red Wings, Tuukka Rask, made 26 saves last night to continue his amazing run. And the Boston Bruins defeated the Detroit Red Wings 3-2 at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings have had a really bad year. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep this train a-moving.
But there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray.
Ah, that's right, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am back from the West Coast. Had a great time. A great time out in Las Vegas with my brothers. And, gosh, stay at the West Coast. First off, I got to say this. I mean, after the incredible, what, two-week stretch we had when it came to just the negative headlines coming out as it pertains to Michigan State University following the Larry Nassar case, following, of course, the ESPN report. It was a nice change of pace just to get away for a little bit, go out to the West Coast, recharge the batteries, and enjoy some really nice weather. I must say, I mean, it went, you know, it was like 2 degrees here. Over there, it got up to like 80 degrees throughout most of the time we were there. And I was in Arizona because my brother Johnny lives out there. And, you know, we spent like 2 days there. On the first day, we went hiking. And what is the mountain called? It's called Squaw Peak. Well, it's got two names, Squaw Peak or Paistawa. I'm probably saying it so wrong. Paistawa, that's how it looks at least, Paistawa Peak. And we went up there, man, and it was one of the most physically challenging things I've done in quite some time. but we made it up to the peak. Took some pretty cool pics for those who are my friend on Facebook. It was just a great time. Great time and a heck of a workout. And then we spent Saturday and Sunday in Las Vegas. And for those who have been to Vegas, and I went to Vegas actually for the first time last summer. This is my first time going, of course, for the Super Bowl. And it is insane. Absolutely insane. Luck was not nice to me when I was there. I lost a lot when I was out there. So, yeah, I was in the negative. But anyway, beside the point, I mean, there were so many people. It's amazing because you have these sports books all around Las Vegas. And like hours before the Super Bowl, and I actually have, I took the copy from Vegas. It's very cool because due to unfortunate circumstances, I was not able to place a bet before the game. Long story, won't bore you with the details. Ian Hawley, engineer behind the glass, he's sitting there throwing his hands up. I know, Ian. It was a crazy time out there. Let's just put it that way, all right?
I just feel bad for you. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly. Because I was looking at the line for the Eagles, too. I'm like, oh, that's intriguing, right? But anyway, if you see here, this is a blue letterhead for those watching on our Facebook Live right now. And it's about, I want to say about 15 pages, something like that. And, I mean, it just has bets galore on here. It's crazy. But you get one of these, and you fill out what you want, and you stand in this long line, and then, you meet a teller, and, you know, you put down your moolah and go from there. But it's amazing because you can bet on, the prop bets are crazy. I mean, will Justin Timberlake wear a hat to begin his performance at the Super Bowl? I mean, you could bet on stuff like that, Ian. It was crazy. But they got these long lines out there. Everybody is betting throughout the entire game. And we ended up actually to watch the game. We went to one of Floyd Mayweather's spots out there, which is very cool. Watched the first quarter of the game there. Went back to, I believe, what was it, MGM Casino. And they had the game playing, all across the casino. So it was a fun time. I had a good time despite, not placing the bets I wanted to and ended up in the negative. But it was a good time. But it's just insane because, people flock to Vegas during that time because, again, they're trying to get lucky. They're trying to win money. It was quite the scene. Lines everywhere, people everywhere. The amount of money
that is spent just trying to sit at a sports book is ridiculous. I mean, I ran into one cat who said he had spent about $200 just to sit down in front of a plethora of TVs while he put down more money to bet on the game. Craziness, right? And it just got me thinking, like, you know, I feel like we're really close to this becoming a norm across the entire nation. I really do. And I think that a lot of people who argue that, oh, you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be able to bet on sports in any state other than Vegas, just one in one destination across the nation. It could be dangerous for the world of sports. And I would argue the exact opposite. Sports world is changing. And I think that conversation really got started when it came to fantasy sports and how big they have become, right? But long story short, had a great time out there. What a game. What a game. And to kick off this conversation, because I do have a few takeaways when it pertains to the Super Bowl, Nick Foles, and I believe, do we have this queued up, Ian? I want to play a snippet from Nick Foles, former, and he was here just for a cup of coffee, right, when he was here at Michigan State University, but he technically is a former Michigan State University quarterback, and to see Nick Foles step in after Carson Wentz, who could have been the NFL's MVP if he did not get injured, right? Having such a stellar year, Nick Foles steps in and delivers. He had an incredible two-game stretch to get the Eagles to Minnesota, and then that performance that he had in the Super Bowl was quite remarkable. But it's been an up-and-down journey. He's really been a journeyman in the NFL. And to now be named Super Bowl MVP in such an improbable situation, I wanted to play a snippet for what Nick Foles had to say concerning his journey to last week Sunday, winning Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 52 out in Minnesota.
I think the big thing is don't be afraid to fail. In our society today, you know, Instagram, Twitter, it's a highlight reel. You know, it's all the good things. And then when you look at it, you know, you think like, wow, when you have a rough day, your life's not as good as that. Like, you know, you're failing. You know, failure's a part of life. That's a part of building character and growing. Like, without failure, who would you be? I wouldn't be up here if I hadn't fallen thousands of times, made mistakes. We all are human. We all have weaknesses. And I think throughout this, just being able to share that and be transparent. I know when I listen to people speak and they share their weaknesses, I'm listening because I can resonate. So I'm not perfect. I'm not Superman. Might be in the NFL and we might have just won the Super Bowl, but hey, we still have daily struggles. I still have daily struggles. So, but that's where my faith comes in. That's where my family comes in. And, you know, I think when you look at a struggle in your life, just know that, you know, that's just an opportunity for your character to grow. And that's really just been the message. Simple. Like, if something's going on in your life and you're struggling, embrace it because you're growing. I'm not really worried about my future right now. You know, I'm grateful to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. Said when I signed with the Eagles, you know, I'm grateful and content in this moment. I'm staying in the moment. I'm not worried about my future right now. There'll be a time and a place to handle all that. But I take a lot of pride in wearing the Philadelphia Eagles jersey. And I just enjoy being here. It's such a great team. I'm excited for Carson Wentz coming back healthy. I get to work with him every day due to stud. And, you know, I'm just living in the moment, not thinking ahead.
If you're having a bad day, just listen to that one more time, right? Nick Foles with really, that was really an insightful answer that really speaks to everyone's journey when it comes to this thing called life, right? Fail. You know, we live in this social media world where everybody's posting everything great about their lives. And then what do you start doing? You start comparing your life to all of the success that you're seeing on social media. When in reality, that's not everybody's reality. We only post the great things on social media, right? We're not going to post our failures and trials and tribulations on social media. So I thought that was fitting. And congratulations to Nick Foles. He's a great guy who stepped up in such a big moment. Let's be real. Carson Wentz is going to come back next season. And Nick Foles is not going to be the guy anymore. But he just etched his name into football lore with the performance that he had on Sunday. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles, the first Super Bowl in franchise history. But I will say this. I mean, the New England Patriots right now, speaking of Vegas, The Patriots already are the favorites to win the entire enchilada come next year. And you look at what happened with this whole Josh McDaniel situation. Does that remind you of something, folks? Doesn't that remind you a lot of what happened with Bill Belichick and the Philadelphia Eagles? Remember that? Bill Parcells steps down. You know, everybody's expecting Bill Belichick to step into that role. The facts comes through that Robert, you know, Kraft wants to interview Bill Belichick, you know, for the opening with the Patriots. Then Belichick runs down the hall. For those of you who have seen, you know, the two Bills, 30 for 30, it's really, really good. Check it out. But Bill Belichick goes down, unexpectedly says, I'm going to resign. And we're all expecting Bill Belichick to become the next head coach for the Eagles. But nope. Mm-mm. Belichick decides, I'm going to go to the New England Patriots. And then he starts that dynasty over there, right? Josh McDaniels really thought that he was going to become the next guy in charge. Everybody did, because he gave the Indianapolis Colts his word. And that did not happen. So that's causing a lot of controversy everywhere right now. But I just want to start by saying congrats to the Eagles. It was a fun game to watch. And I think the reason why Josh decided to stay, I think Bill Belichick probably talked to Josh McDaniels, who has been his right-hand man for many years. And I think that Tom Brady wanted Josh to stay. We all know Tom, you know, he's getting up there in age now. He probably has, what, a good 2, maybe 3 years left. He wants to keep Josh there. He's comfortable with Josh McDaniels. He likes how the offense has operated under McDaniels. They gave him a nice, sweet deal. And he said, I think I want to stay here in New England instead of go to the Indianapolis Colts, who did not have a great season, a big rebuild process, I believe, over there. However, I think that maybe Bill Belichick is saying to everyone that he wants Josh McDaniels to be the guy once he does decide to hang it up and retire himself. So who knows? But quickly here, we got Ian Hawley behind the glass, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, also live here in Studio S with me. We have Current Sports production assistant John Simon in his house. John, first off, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, Al. Doing good. Nice to be back here after the nice weekend.
Right, definitely, man. Hope you had a good weekend. What about you, Ian? You have a good weekend, dude?
Yes, sir. I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking.
That is great. So just takeaways from both of you guys. We'll start with John. I mean, first off, where'd you watch the game at? That's always a big question, right? And then two, what'd you think of the game? Just takeaways from the game.
So I watched the game at my fraternity house here at Michigan State with a couple of my buddies. And takeaways from the game, as far as it goes, I mean, Nick Foles, as you mentioned, just Cinderella story, capped off with the perfect ending, a Super Bowl, first Super Bowl for a great franchise like the Philadelphia Eagles, one that the fans have of course been waiting for a long time. But for me, the big thing was the way the game went. I didn't think that it would be high scoring. I thought that the Eagles defense would play really well, and ultimately the Eagles defense did decide the game with that strip sack fumble of Brady.
Definitely.
But overall, over 500 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. I mean, Tom Brady had as good of a game as you could have, and I was just shocked that it was Nick Foles that won the game for the Eagles and their offense and not their defense.
Without a doubt. What about you, Ian?
I want to talk about the commercials a little bit.
Do you?
By far my favorite part of the Super Bowl. No, I'm kidding.
I was about to say, there are a few commercials that I really, really liked, and somewhere I'm like, oh, okay, that's just like the Skittles commercials.
Yeah.
Those are really, really weird. But anyway, okay, the game.
Those are kind of off the wall, but they're entertaining at
they're
the
like
very
Old
least,
Spice.
You know?
They're like the Old Spice commercials. Like, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, the one was like, now I'm on a horse. Now I'm on a boat fighting, you know?
So weird.
But I thought the one, like the Ram one, kind of threw me off, where they use like the Martin Luther King speech for that. It was kind of like, all right, you're using the Dr. King speech to help sell some trucks right now.
I didn't even see that.
That one kind of fell flat on me.
Okay.
And the Budweiser one was kind of disappointing. You know, it was like, it was just you know, like in the past they had the one with like the horse and the dog,
right,
like coming home and everything. And
the inspiration.
Yeah,
was
and you know, you're like wiping away a tear at the end. But this one, it just wasn't up to par. You know.
I hear you.
So,
but the game, quick takeaways. I know the phone. We got a caller calling, but real quick takeaways. What will you remember about this Super Bowl?
I will remember that 4th-and-2 play where they got it by, like, just, I think, a little bit more than a yard right at the end there. And then I will remember Brady's face at the end of the game. That was, I think, my favorite moment, you know, when they showed him on the sidelines when the confetti was going off and everything. You know, but I'm a Brady hater, so okay, that's where I stand.
And I want to address this before we hit this first break. John, quick conversation. You know, I'm a big, not big, I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, right? And I know, right? See that? I always get that reaction, right? And I'm a huge Cowboys fan because, you know, living in Detroit, you got to have that second team you root for. My dad was always the Dallas Cowboys. He loved the Cowboys during the 90s. They had the dynasty rolling on, you know. So I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. But, of course, you still root for the Detroit Lions at the same time because you're from the D. You got to stay true to your roots, right? But, you know, I get that reaction every time I say that, no matter where I am. And now I feel like maybe the New England Patriots have taken that title as the most hated team in the NFL now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's amazing to me because I want to ask the question, I mean, who is the most hated team in the NFL? I used to think it was the Cowboys, but now, especially now, with this whole Josh McDaniels situation, you got the whole Spygate situation, you got the Deflategate situation. So, and Brady and Belichick, I mean, that dynasty has a lot of people irked when you think about it because a lot of people think that the Patriots have been cheaters and they haven't done it the clean way. So am I right in saying that the Patriots are the most hated team in the NFL? And if so, how far behind are my Dallas Cowboys? Because we have not been a Super Bowl caliber team in a long time.
I was going to say, as of right now, the Cowboys are they're falling pretty far behind the pack that's led by the Patriots. But yeah, you talked about it. I mean, not only does the team win, and they win all the time, and that people expect them to win all the time.
Yeah.
But, like you said, they don't do it cleanly, as many people believe. And when you mix all that in, the best dynasty argument in the history of the league, you mix all that with an obnoxious fan base like Boston. Right. The Boston fans got to be worse than Dallas Cowboy fans. But, as of right
we're
now,
we're pretty bad,
least,
though, right?
They are pretty bad. But Boston fans overall, if you give them a team like this, they are going to make them so much more hateable just because of how cocky they are about how good their Patriots team is.
For sure, for sure. And I think they've definitely taken that title because now you start to see, oh, Belichick, he tampered here. And you know, Josh was going to go to Indianapolis. Belichick said, no, 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 not so fast. I got a sweeter deal for you. So if I am an Indianapolis Colts fan, I am pretty ticked off right now.
And
I must say
that.
They
hate them already.
Yeah.
With that long rivalry between Manning and Brady.
For sure.
Rekindling of it now.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right. I see we got two callers on. I want to, Ray, Mike, I see ya. Again, I get to a few comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I want to hit our first break because when I come back, we are going to dive into what is happening right now with the Michigan State men's basketball team. Now, when I say that, that sounds negative, right? I mean, this team has only 3 losses this year, and they are 1 win away from matching the best start in program history. So why are we sitting here having this conversation saying what is wrong with the team? Well, because in this recent stretch of basketball, they have squeaked out wins. A win is a win nonetheless. But there are a few takeaways that I want to bring up when it comes to what we've seen these past few games. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We now embrace segment B. And before we dive into the Michigan State men's basketball woes, if you will, as they squeak out another close one on the road, this time it was Iowa who gave Spartan fans a scare last night. Before we talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team, we do have two callers on lines 1 and 2. We'll start with line 1, it's our dear friend Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, my man? I know you're pretty happy about Tom Brady losing, right?
Fly, Eagles, fly! 68 million for the parade tomorrow, buddy. They never won one since 1960.
Right.
You know, I was listening to it on the radio. I was 11 years old, and Jimmy Taylor got tackled short of the goal line on the 13, and the clock ran out on Vince Lombardi. He said, I'll never let that happen to me. They won 6 world championships in a row. He couldn't carry Bill Belichick's, Vince Lombardi's jockstrap.
Yeah. Yeah, and how about that? I mean, for the Eagles, yeah, as you just mentioned, Ray, I mean, that was the last time they won a championship. It wasn't called the Super Bowl back then. It was just called the championship. The time before the merger, they had won 3 national titles. So very cool stuff. A long time coming for that Philadelphia fan
base. Let me tell you, the 2 biggest plays in that game, I had the sound down because I can't stand to listen to those announcers. They always say when you're 5 or 6 points up, you've won by 50, the way they talk. So I turned the sound down. 4th and 2, I said, you're never going to get the ball back away. Brady's throwing all over you. You got to go for it. He made it. And then the 2nd biggest play of the game was that strip fumble on Brady.
Right. Huge, right? And I'm pretty sure you were rejoicing.
I mean, it's the only mistake he made all day, thank God.
Right.
But, you know, those guys, I'm not saying Brady ain't great, but they better go get a couple of defensive backs. They were letting those white dudes 15, 20 yards open all over the field. I mean, come on. You got to have better defensive backs than that.
Well, you know, right now, you know, and Belichick, he's been taking heat since after the game, I should say. You know, Malcolm Butler. I don't understand why Malcolm Butler was benched and you know, mysteriously absent as the Eagles really targeted Eric Rowe very early. I thought that really hindered the Patriots moving forward. That was big question.
You're never going to know from that organization. They're such liars and cheaters. They are. Just like the McDaniels thing. They wanted to pay back Indianapolis for the Deflategate. Why that owner went to India to think he's going to get a New England guy out of there to start with, he's a crazy owner to start with. But I'll tell you, here's a couple things I really loved about the game. I wonder why I rooted so hard for the Eagles to win that world championship. Mm. And after the game, their coach hat was the gutsiest coach I've seen going up against Belichick. Every time they scored, he took a right down and scored himself, played aggressive football. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to thank the Lord Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins. And then the quarterback went up there and said the same thing. It reminded me a lot of the story, like Kurt Warner, when he was going to quit 2 years ago, and he came back.
Yeah, I know, and we all know how you love Kurt Warner. Yeah, and
I know, but I'm talking about God. How they both got up there at the pulpit,
right,
and the first thing they had out of their mouth, you would never get that out of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, come on.
All right, I hear you, Ray. I see where you're going. But
a four-letter man, that's all he wants to talk to. You know, I'm not saying he can't change his life around, but
Tom Brady's a good person. I feel like we're attacking his character
now. He might be a good person.
I don't think Tom Brady's a bad guy.
He's too possessed by football to start with. And number two, he can clean his mouth up. He don't need to talk like that.
Mm, okay. All right. Ray from
That's
Indiana.
All I say. You know, I'm not trying
Ray.
To judge you. I'm just trying to say.
No, I hear you.
Someday the Lord will get a hold of me, okay?
Ray from Indiana. Always an interesting take with Ray. Thank you, Ray. Line 2, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, you are on Current Sports. What's up, my man?
What's up, my man? My man is glad. What mountain you went to visit, man? I'm just curious.
You know, and I've been butchering the name, and John laughed at me when I pronounced it, actually, too. It's spelled P-I-E-S-T-E-W-A. So, Piestewa Peak, I think that's how you pronounce it. I climbed that mountain. Me and the fellas, we climbed that mountain, and, you know, it was pretty challenging. I probably stopped about 4 times to catch my breath because a lot of it was inverted, but a great time nonetheless. I'm on this fitness kick right now, so that was one of the things on my bucket list as I went out there. It was a great time.
All right, man. That halftime show with Justin Timberlake with that Prince monogram, man, I could have went to that CBS or NBC and choked them for doing Prince like that.
Dude.
I really, man, what happened to Morris Day in the time, man? I said that was just insulting.
You know,
really
a lot of people,
me just to see that.
Mike, a lot of people are upset with JT's performance at the half. I didn't get a chance to see it because, you know, when you're watching it in a casino, they barely had the volume up. And when halftime hit, you know, we just started chatting with other people who were around the bar and everything. So I didn't get a chance to see it. I glanced at it, and it looked cool from where I was standing, but I couldn't hear the vocals or anything like that. But a lot of you guys saw it, Ian, you know, it's so funny, Mike. Ian, a lot of people don't know this. I don't think I've said this on the air, but Ian is an R&B singer. We've had you on
I dabble.
To talk. Yeah, right, exactly. He dabbles in R&B singing, the R&B genre. And so I'm curious, Ian, to get your thoughts on that. What did you think of JT's performance?
It was good. John and I were talking about it a little bit.
Then his last one was at the Super Bowl. It was much better.
Well, what'd you think? Well, hold on, Mike. I want to hear Ian, real quick take on that when it comes to JT's performance. Hold on, Mike. hold on. We're going to get to you, Mike. Hold on. Ian.
All right.
Well, never mind. Now the phone's ringing. Hey, we'll get Ian's take later on. But, yeah, a lot of people were disappointed in it.
But the way that, man, that sucked, man. I don't care what anybody said. That was just...
Tough critic.
I don't know, man. I wanted to see, be honest with you, I wanted to see Morris Day and the Time up there, man. They from Minnesota, or Jimmy Cham and Terry Lewis.
Right.
I know they ain't as popular as Prince, man, but that would have did us... Even, you know, Janet Jackson went to Minnesota and produced all her records there. That's how she got what she was, man.
Right. Oh, I know.
I don't know, man.
You are very distraught about this. And I thought JT was going to bring it. I'm a big fan of Justin Timberlake's, so I thought he was really going to bring it. But, hey, I guess not. I'm going to go back later on this afternoon and check it out, though, Mike.
You do that, man. I got to tell you about the Hall of Fame. You believe Terrence Owens and Randy Moss and Brian Urlacher and Brian Dawkins going to the Hall of Fame?
Great class.
You believe that?
I thought T.O. should have been as a first ballot, but his character issues is what hindered that when it came to the voters. But anyway, yeah. T.O. finally gets in, so we can stop listening to him boo-hooing and crying about it left and right, because I was getting sick and tired of that. But I thought it was a great class. Great class, Mike. Well, we got to keep it pushing, though, brother.
All right, then. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
You check that performance out, and I'll be listening and see what your opinion on it.
I will give my review tomorrow. I got you, Mike. Thank you, man. All right, line one, we've got Austin from KZoo. Austin, what's up, my man?
Al, welcome back to the cold weather. How you doing?
Oh, man? I'm not enjoying that, I tell you. But I'm glad to be back, but this weather just, especially the snow this morning. I drove from the D this morning. I'm sitting there saying.
Yeah, we're actually headed out that way tomorrow to New Mexico. We got some wedding planning and stuff going on. So,
congrats again, bro, and enjoy the weather out there.
Yes, sir. Hey, right quick, man. I want to address Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
So here's the issue. It wasn't a Prince tribute. So for people to be upset and say that he did Prince wrong is kind of disrespectful, because the purpose of the halftime show wasn't to give Prince a tribute. He was in Minnesota. That's where Prince is from.
Right.
And he just wanted to show love. And second, people don't understand the greatness of music and musicianship. And that's what Justin Timberlake's halftime performance displayed. And my last comment, what'll make it better for me is if Ian sings a Justin Timberlake song live on the air tomorrow, and then I'll be good.
Ian,
would that make you happy?
Would you be down to do that,
Ian? Happy.
Would you be down to do that tomorrow, Ian?
Might have to drink some tea and honey tonight and mull it over.
He'll mull it over for you, Austin. Okay.
No excuses. And we need the current sports halftime show.
We may do that for going into segment B. Ian, no, you got to do it now, Ian. So tune in 1:30 tomorrow. Ian will be singing. You got a specific song you want him to sing, Austin?
I want him to sing "Until the End of Time" by Justin Timberlake.
Okay, how's that sound, Ian?
All right, I'll work on it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, if he sings, I'll bring my drums and play.
I'll be practicing in front of the mirror tonight.
And you know, that's a point I wanted to make, Austin. So, again, for those listening out there, one, you got two artists. I mean, you got Ian, who dabbles in R&B, but Austin also is a drummer, and you used to drum with the MSU band as a student. I remember seeing you in the end zone. Is that right, Austin?
Yeah, man. And with Spark, I went to the IU game. I felt like an old man. I was like, man, I can't believe this is almost 4 years ago.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, Austin knows his stuff. Austin, thank you so much, brother.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you back on the air, man. Talk to you guys later.
You got it. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A lot of you chiming in on the Justin Timberlake halftime show. And I want to make this point as well, you know, because I watched Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Fallon had a live show right after the Super Bowl. He had Justin Timberlake on it, like Best Friends. And JT was very proud of that performance. I must say, he said, I did it justice. So I'll be the judge of it. I'll watch after today's show. I'll go to my office, Ian, okay? Now we've got Jason online, too. And I know, Jason, I didn't ignore your text message, dude. I know the Battlefield Brawl is coming up, and we will start getting you on regularly to talk about it. How you doing, Jason?
Oh, doing great, brother. Doing great. Just want to talk a little bit about watching the game last night. And by the way, it looks like you had a great trip too, from all your posts.
Oh, it was just a good 4 days to get away, recharge the batteries. I'm so happy to be back, though, Jason.
Right. So, yeah, last night watching the game, you know, when Iowa came back and had the lead there for a while, it was kind of weird just kind of watching. You know, I knew Ward and Jackson were in a little bit of foul trouble, so Tom sat them down. But, you know, to see some of the silly fouls that were getting called on Schilling and on Goins, it was just like, you know, the one call on Goins, he had his hand straight up and they called him for a foul. It's like, how is that even a foul? He had his body, but that was it. There was nothing there. The guy was pushing on him. And I think some of these Big Ten referees need to really go back to school and learn the game all over again, because some of the stuff they're calling is just not a true foul anymore.
Well, Jason, I think just overall, the college not even just the Big Ten conference. I mean, I watched the Big 12 and multiple other conferences across the board, dude, and I'm sitting there saying the game is called way too tight nowadays. It really is. They don't allow the player to just go out there, get physical a bit. I've always agreed with Izzo when he said this, man. I mean, why not just call the game the way the NBA calls it? You know, I just don't understand. I think the NBA, the way they call the game, other than traveling, is the perfect balance, okay, between being physical but not too physical and letting the game get out of hand. I've always believed in that. I think they should just adopt the NBA rules and go from there, and I think a lot of these big-time players wouldn't have to be shell-shocked when they do make that leap from the college game. But I agree with you, and we've seen multiple times this year Jaren Jackson specifically get into foul trouble and hinder Michigan State moving forward. But I want to ask you this, Jason, because, you know, before we hit this final break, I'm going to address what we've seen from this Michigan State men's basketball team these past few games. How confident are you that this Michigan State men's basketball team can make a deep run come March?
Well, just from seeing the way they are when the guys get down, okay? They get down and you see Tom, he goes one of two ways. He'll either keep Cassius in for a little bit, or he'll put the true floor leader out there and stick Tum Tum out there. You know, you see Tum Tum get out there, and Tum Tum sits and uses that leadership he's had from the years he's been at Michigan State and knowing how Izzo runs the offense. And Tum Tum goes out there and he talks to the guys and gets everybody to calm down and start rethinking what they're doing. And then Michigan State turns around, we come back, and we end up winning the game.
Right. So, with that being said, looking at the overall body of work for this team so far, and we're looking at what you've seen so far, how confident are you that this team can make a deep run?
I am very confident with the way they've been playing. They're able to come back from being down, and I think right now Michigan State is number four. I do believe there is a very good chance we will get a one seed, depending on how we finish out the season and the Big Ten tournament. If we win the Big Ten tournament, it's automatically going to be a one seed with no question about it. But getting into the tournament, if Purdue stays ranked ahead of us, you know, but we'll see what happens here on Saturday when we play them.
Right.
But if we end up beating Purdue, Michigan State, hands down, will be the number one. We'll be a number one seed. And if we beat Purdue, we'll definitely get the number one in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. The only thing that concerns me getting the number one seed in the Midwest is that one nemesis we've had the past few tournaments in facing Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, Virginia and Michigan State have had some of the greatest tournament games recently, and I really think if we have to face Virginia, we could have a little problem with defending the three-point shooters that they have, because they're pretty outstanding on the threes there at Virginia.
Right.
I don't think our big men will have too much of a problem, but I definitely think Michigan State can make it all the way into the Final Four and definitely probably do the championship game.
Jason, thank you so much, dude. Always good hearing from you, all right?
Okay, man, get a hold of me and we'll talk about the PSA stuff.
Without a doubt. Expect a call later this afternoon. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right, man. All right, be easy.
All right, always, brother. Final break. When we come back, I will address the Michigan State men's basketball team. We'll have a conversation on just what we've seen so far from this team in the recent stretch of basketball that they played, and what can we expect come this Saturday, because there's a lot on the line this Saturday against Purdue. This is going to be a huge game. This is the game of the season right now for your Spartans. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have just under 10 minutes left here in the show. If you want to call in, get a quick call in. It's got to be brief, 30 seconds. 517-355. WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, we just briefly touched on Michigan State men's basketball. Our dear friend Jason wanted to chime in on it. But, you know, I'm 50-50 on this team right now. You know, I can't read this Michigan State men's basketball team game after game after game. Now, granted, I mean, they have played a really tough stretch here. We are talking about, what, 5 games in 12 days. Back-to-back road night games. And we all know how tough it has been for teams in the Big Ten to go on the road and win a game. It is tough. It's like records go out the window this season. And you know, for Michigan State, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. The fact that they have pulled out these really close games with about 3 minutes left to go and have persevered and shown resiliency, I think it says a lot. And I think that will pay off huge for this team if they do get into a dogfight come the Big Ten tournament out in New York, come March Madness. And we all know March Madness is all about matchups, and that's why it's so unpredictable. It's why we saw Michigan State fall to Middle Tennessee State not too long ago, okay? That game still rings in my mind, and I think that is the game, if you are a Spartan fan, it puts in perspective how the game is all about matchups. So at the end of the day, this is still the most talented roster that Tom Izzo has ever had. This is a team that can go deep. But my goodness, and when you compare, and that's why I think this game is so important come this weekend. If you compare what Purdue did to Iowa not too long ago, I mean this is a team that held, you know, Iowa to something like 63 points, ended up beating them by 20 plus. And you see how Michigan State struggled last night. I'm not confident in this squad right now. And this team, as I've stated, this team will go as far as Cassius Winston will take them. When Cassius Winston is playing well, Michigan State is almost unbeatable. He's a curious case right now. Question mark after question mark for Cassius. When he's playing well, he's one of the best guards in the nation. But when he's playing bad, he's playing bad. He's turning the ball over. He's trying to force things. And you saw what Izzo did last night. Izzo, in that second half, he benched Cassius Winston. He sat him down from the 17-minute and 20-second mark to about the 8-minute and 43rd mark. And he did not like, and he noted this in his post-game presser, he did not like the body language of Cassius Winston. And Cassius did admit that as well when reading a few of his post-game quotes. His body language has to be better, because I think Cassius knows as well, when he's playing that point guard role, when he starts doubting himself and when his body language and when his focus isn't there, he knows that it has a trickle-down effect. I'll never forget what Tom said a few weeks ago. Cassius is the head, and if you cut off the head of the snake, the body goes. If Cassius isn't playing well, this team does not play well. So, and so that's the thing I'm concerned about when it comes to this squad. When it comes to Miles Bridges, I mean, Miles Bridges played fantastic last night. I've been waiting for that, you know, from Miles Bridges. Multiple times this year, I've said, and Izzo has been trying to work on this, turning Miles Bridges into a quote-unquote jerk, a guy who says, give me the basketball, I'm not going to pass it, I am going to show you why I am a player of the year candidate. And that is exactly what Miles Bridges showed last night. I was very pleased with his play. But when you don't have Cassius Winston playing well, when you have Jaren Jackson getting into foul trouble, along with Nick Ward, that hinders you tremendously. And players have to step into unlikely scoring roles who are used to being those gritty role players, a player such as Kenny Goins. Purdue will be the game, the litmus test to really see where this team is at right now. And I got to say this as well. I mean, the fact that Michigan State is competing this well, though, on the road, with all of the noise they are dealing with right now, that was one of the biggest questions I have for this team. All of the noise, all of the distraction, I have been very impressed with how the leadership of this MSU men's basketball team has really stepped up and said, it's us against the world. We're going to go out there, just ball and use basketball as really our getaway, our safe haven from all of the mess that is surrounding our university right now. But I just don't know with this team. I could see this team going to the Final Four, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went out in the first weekend. But we'll see what happens this weekend. I'll bring up a few interesting stats when I really dissected last night's game when I was watching it. And just to look at as we proceed now to, 3 days away from this matchup against Purdue, I want to give a special shout-out to John Simon, Ian Hawley. Also, all of our listeners and callers out there will be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We are hoping to get a really special guest on the show on Friday. She's a pretty big name. She's an MSU alum, and she's coming to campus to speak. I won't reveal. You can give your own guesses right now, but I won't reveal who that individual might be. All I'm saying is tuning in. Tune in that day. Should be a hot show. And then tomorrow, we're going to welcome to the show a former Michigan State football player who wants to come to the defense of his former head coach, Mark D'Antonio, as it pertains to how Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football program has dealt with sexual assault and or sexual abuse. You'll find out who that player is. Should be an interesting one filled with a ton of dialogue. Again, same time, same place tomorrow, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you to always be easy, people.